Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And welcome to another weekend of Focus on Community. Hi there, I'm Frank Roche. Good to have you along today. Happy weekend to you. We're going to talk a little bit about kids and caring for them and all the things that go into that. And I think we'll probably go into some areas that you may not have expected. Tammy Silverman from the Indiana Youth Institute joins us today. Tammy, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. Always good to be with you, Frank.
So the benefit of caring for the whole child. Now this, I mean, are we talking, you know, physical, make sure that they're fed well, they're clothed well, making sure their family life's okay. There's a lot of different areas that this could go into. So tell us about your subject for this month and caring for the whole child. What's this really got to do with?
Sure. And that's a good question, because it's not everything under the sun, right? It's really talking about, in the educational setting, of course, we need to focus on academics, but we also need to understand that the extent to which kids have skills, kind of those social and responsibility skills, that also impacts their ability to learn and to really achieve those academic milestones. So things like self-awareness, self-management, how to interact with other people, that's what we're talking about for social and emotional skills.
Now, is this one of those things that teachers 30, 40 years ago didn't have to worry about, but because of the way society has developed or undeveloped, however you want to look at it, that now the educational community has to worry about it? Is that something that we're getting into here?
Well, that's a great question. And coming from a family of educators, I'm trying to process what they might say. I would speculate these are always things that educators have worked with, right? Talking to kids about, you know, don't let that person who always sets you off or makes you mad, how can you respond to that in a productive way? My guess is they've always worked on these things, but now we have a little more evidence as to and some supports to help them continue to teach that or model that, right? Because teachers always have talked to kids about, are you making a good decision? Are you aware of how you're coming across right now? Are you understanding how this room works and how your friends work and how you're interacting with them? I mean, none of that's totally new to teachers. In fact, they've been probably doing it for a really long time.
Now, one of the things about this is the fact that if folks hadn't thought about this yet, your educators probably spend more time with your kids on a daily basis than you do, parents. So they really are kind of responsible for helping your child to socially develop and kind of help frame what their personality is kind of going to be like as they grow up.
You bet. You bet. And I think this is exactly what the goal is to make sure kids are getting that information and that it's done consistently. So this new curriculum is from kindergarten through 12th grade. In fact, it starts in pre-K. So it's across the spectrum so that hopefully, you know, there again, I'm sure that in every school there's teachers that take it upon themselves that they're really, you know, they're really dedicated to making sure that kids know how to behave as a teenager or as a young person, you know, whatever that is. But now there's a consistency factor to it as well, which I think could be really helpful for kids, so that it's not dependent upon individual, this one great teacher or this teacher who does a really good job at it or relates well to kids or relates well to, you know, those transition years are always awkward. And so making sure that there's a consistent approach all the way through school is kind of the difference.
You know, you talk about the fact that there are some awkward years as kids grow up, and that's true. And the thing of it is that nowadays, though, the way society is, we have social media now, and we've got all and kids have always been, I won't necessarily say cruel, but they have the ability to be rude and a little obnoxious at times. And it seems like they're even more that way now than ever. And that leads to a whole bunch of other problems as far as social and emotional.
Yep.
And we see suicide rates going all over the place. I mean, so there's really a lot to deal with here.
There is a lot to deal with, and just to throw in, you know how IYI, we love our data, so I'm going to throw in, when you mentioned suicide, unfortunately, that remains such a big issue for Indiana that suicide is still the second leading cause of death for our kids ages 15 to 24, and is actually the fourth leading cause of death for younger kids ages 5 through 14. And so when you think about that, there's a lot going on even proportional to some of our neighboring states. And a lot of those pressures are showing up in really significant and tragic ways. So as you said, you know, social media is one of those things that, you know, if a child, as you said, school has never been all sunshine and roses and rainbows, right? There's been challenges in schools for a long time. And then I think anybody that works with kids or educators would acknowledge that. The reality is, one of the challenges today is that if kids had a bad day at school, they used to go home and disconnect from that, right? They would disconnect. They had time to kind of reset, come back the next day. Hopefully there were some guiding adults or neighbors in their lives or even friends that said, oh, shake it off. That kid's just being ridiculous, right? Shake it off. Tomorrow's, and they could get away from it. With social media, it's on them all the time now. They don't have those chances to disconnect at nights and on the weekends, and it's this ever-present pressure that is taking a toll on some of our kids.
And that really sends a lot of them just right over the edge.
It's tough. Yeah, it's a lot. Well, and then you add on to it, you know, there's a lot of pressure to be a great athlete or to be exceptional in whatever activity, not just to be a good member of the team. You know, what's wrong with having a good time and showing up and enjoying, you know, maybe you're not the star football player, but you're having a good time on the team and you're a valuable member. There's a lot of pressure to really excel in you name it, right? In addition to testing and all of those pressures. So there's a lot of pressures on our kids. And in fact, today, this week, we're doing a webinar on that anxiety. And we have over 600 folks, and if anybody wants to hear it, it'll be on our website, that have signed up because they know that pressure anxiety is so strong for kids.
Well, you know, the other thing is, it used to be, at least in my day, and I won't talk about my age or yours, either one, but with that said, when we had problems in school, well, you probably didn't. I spent a lot of time in the dean's office, principal's office, and which got me special meetings at home. there were different ways of dealing with kids that acted up back in my day, so to speak, which wasn't all that long ago. And it was not, you know, it was not impossible to get suspended for a day or two or to see that nice, pretty board that's all polished and shiny with holes drilled in it. You know, things, that's how they dealt with it back then. Nowadays, though, we're dealing with things in a whole lot different manner.
We are. And, you know, there are tons of different opinions about whether that's right, wrong, or indifferent. The reality is that that's the environment that we have right now. So trying to equip teachers with, here are some evidence-based proven. We are by no means the first state to implement this kind of curriculum. In fact, many others have, and the results are really strong that if we do some of these activities, if we teach some of these skills, if we model some of these behaviors, here are the results that are going to, and I think everyone, you know, a reduction in suicide, that's fantastic. A reduction in kids who receive in-school suspension, out-of-school suspension, or that are expelled because they know how to better manage their frustrations. They know how to contain disruptive behavior. That would be fantastic, right? All of those things would be great outcomes. And if you can do it in an evidence-based way that also is a good economic decision for schools, then you kind of get double bang for your buck.
Yeah, it used to be we just got rid of the troublemakers. And now though, really, we've kind of, I think, probably gotten a little bit smarter about that. We're really trying to help the troublemakers now and realizing they're not being troublemakers because they're just jerks. I mean, they're being troublemakers because there's usually an underlying problem there.
There is. You're absolutely right. And the more we can address that, and the other challenges, right, just having the troublemakers leave school doesn't mean that they're not going to cause trouble somewhere else. Right. Yeah. And so really saying, instead of saying we need to get you out of here, let's talk about what are those underlying issues. Hopefully we can work on those so that those kids can grow up to be productive, contributing citizens, which is really the goal for every child. Right. We want them to reach their full potential, and we need them to so that they can be good employees and community leaders, and they can show up and be a positive contributor to all of our communities.
Well, it used to be, you know, as long as they were causing problems someplace else, it was all good. As long as they weren't causing problems here with me. Yeah. You know? I mean, that's kind of the way
Yep, the juvenile justice system, you know, the more we can keep them kids on the straight and narrow and don't need to engage them in the juvenile justice system, again, that's better for the kids and it's better for communities and it's better economically.
And, you know, one of the interesting things is, because I got to look at some of the numbers and the info that you guys sent out before we even started this little chat today, and that is the fact we may not think, and most of the people in education probably don't think that there's really, I mean, because they look at the kids, and it doesn't matter, black, white, whatever, they don't think about it. It's like, well, they're just kids. But there are some numbers that show that there's some differences in how white kids, black kids, and all are dealt with. And, I mean, there really is a difference there.
There really is. The data says in Indiana, black students are 2.3 times more likely to receive in-school suspension, 4 times more likely to receive out-of-school suspension, and they're also more likely to be expelled than their white peers. And I think you're right. Many of the teachers, you know, respond to the behaviors that they're seeing in their classrooms. And yet, within the last week, I've talked to 2 superintendents that say they know that this is a reality in some of their schools, not in all of their schools always, you know, but they said, yeah, we know. I talked to one from Northern Indiana. He said, yes, I can tell you exactly which school, exactly what grade, what's going on with that. So again, I think it's, you don't always anticipate that, but for a lot of those educators, they know that that's a reality in their school.
Well, and we also have to take a look too. Is it because, is that the way that the teachers are responding to those students because of whatever, or is it because those students are actually acting up, but it's because of more problems at home and in the society that they come from before they get to school?
Well, and we know that there's a big connection between academic achievement, right? Like how you show up at school, and are you well fed? Do you have a safe house? Do you have, you know, have all of your basic needs been met, right? And we know that there's disproportionality in those realities as well, which then affects how kids show up at school, right? So we need to make sure, again, that every kid, you know, we want every child to be well fed, to be well cared for. Our upcoming, one of our issues we're going to address is Indiana's child maltreatment and abuse rates. And we know that that's a huge issue in Indiana. And if kids are not well cared for, it's going to trickle into everything, and it shows up really acutely in our schools.
So let's kind of draw this down to a nutshell for folks. The benefit of caring for the whole child, it's a new program from the State Department of Education. What are we doing with it? I mean, what's supposed to be the, is this some kind of program that folks are supposed to read up on, or give me the nutshell here?
Yep, I would say so IDOE is rolling out trainings across the state, and they started in late January, mid-February, I believe. It's going to continue for a while. It takes them a while to get all the way across the state. But the whole curriculum is available on their website. So I would, you know, if you're interested, if you're like, what in the world does that even mean? How does that translate to my kid's grade? You know, we're kind of doing it so that parents know and the community knows what's coming down the pathway, right? So you can go on their website. We have a link on our website. And then also to know that the intent of this is to help kids reduce some of those really negative data points that we've talked about, and to really save some dollars down the road with juvenile justice, healthcare costs, all of those kinds of things. If we can do a little bit of preventative care up front, hopefully that, you know, again, the research shows that every dollar spent on one of these programs returns $11 in savings in those other lifetime issues. So an 11-to-1 return rate is pretty good.
You mean we can actually do something good and still save money? Stop it.
Correct. Correct. That's always the goal, right?
Really?
Let's do the right thing, help people, and make sure it's financially and fiscally responsible.
And a government agency is actually doing this. I just find this completely amazing.
It's cool stuff. It's good stuff. So again, it's really so that people know what's coming down the pipeway and that they can take a look at it themselves. Again, you know, this is just kind of to tease and introduce the concept, but I would encourage anyone who wants more information to dig into it a little further. Reach out to us, reach out to your school, reach out to DOE. Really, the information is available to anyone who's interested.
Tammy Silverman with the Indiana Youth Institute. You guys have a great website. And like you said, the link for this is on your site, which is
IYI.org.
And there's
really
all kinds
easy to remember.
Yeah, and there's lots of other stuff there to read up on too. We talked last time we had you on, we talked about the Kids Count data book and all that information that will actually give you a little bit of an insight as to where we're at here in the Wabash Valley, each county individually, and then compare us to across the state. There's lots of interesting reading there for all kinds of topics, right?
You bet. You could fill weeks and months, but it's all available there at your fingertips.
And it is actually interesting.
good. I like to hear that. That's the intent. We want it to be useful.
Well, that's kind of the general idea there anyway. So Indiana Youth Institute, just to kind of give folks a little bit of a refresher here, you guys are actually a non-for-profit. And your total goal is just to focus on making lives for kids better.
Absolutely. And to help any of those entities who work with kids. So we work a lot with schools. We work a lot with after-school programs, Big Brother, Big Sister, YMCA, faith-based programs, because we know those folks are working hard. And anything we can do to help them reach their goals, we're here to do that as well.
And you're not a tax type of agency. You're actually funded all by grants and non-for-profits and that kind of thing.
Oh yeah, we do get grants from the state, which, you know, but yeah, no, we're independent, not for profit, and we have to raise all of our dollars.
All right.
You know, just you know, we hustle like everybody else, right? We make sure that we're raising dollars and hopefully putting them to really good use, and that we're also very fiscally responsible.
Which is how you're held accountable, because you actually have to produce something that folks will find helpful and informative. And if you don't, then you don't get funded, then you go away. So that's kind of how that works. And so you must
that's
be
doing how it works.
So you must
that's
be doing
how,
all right with
that's
it.
That's how it works. Yes.
All right. Tammy Silverman with IYI, Indiana Youth Institute. Again, their website is iyi.org. And we'll talk to her again another time in the future about some more things they've got going on. That's it for Focus on Community this week. I'm Frank Rush. See you next time.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.